everybody, and welcome to a very special episode of What You Doin' Podcast, the interview podcast where I talk to cool people about the amazing stuff they're working on. My name is Matt, and in this episode, we're actually doing something a little different. It's February, and in the TTRPG community, that means it's zine time. From Zine Quest to Zine Month to Zinetopia, there's probably another one. Everybody has a cool zine for you to check out. Now, I've been toying with the idea of including pre-recorded segments for the podcast for a little bit, and today's episode is the result of all that thinking. Today, you'll hear from a handful of designers who have their zines available right now on crowdfunding. All of these designers responded to a submission form that I put out with their own pre-recorded answers, and you're going to hear those answers edited together. As usual, everyone's info will be in the show notes, so if there's something you want to check out or maybe back, it'll be there for you. So why don't we kick things off and have the guests introduce themselves and what they're working on.
Hey, my name's John, and I'm from Breitbard Games. My pronouns are he, they, and you might know me from some of our recent games like Bonds Between, Trash to Treasure, or Longsword Glock Bat Taser. Axolotl with a Gun is an arcade-style, eco-fantasy tabletop role-playing game about axolotls with guns and cute hobbies fighting evil robots trying to exploit their habitat for its resources. It runs on a coin-operated D6 dice pool system and a hearty helping of Looney Tunes logic.
Hey, my name is Nishant. Pronouns he, him. Tragically, I don't have any previous works that people might know. Unless you caught me at PAX U, I was handing out pamphlets of my So You Want to Start a Goblin Band little game, little pamphlet game, up and coming in the space. But I've got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipeline. For my zine specifically, I'm working on something called Murker of Morks, which is an adventure module compatible with all of the Borg games, where six player characters are brought in. They all have characters from six different Borg games, and they're in a six-part blood sport, which is different dangerous encounters from those six different games. It's just meant to be like a sampling of a bunch of different Borg games, but also just a wacky and ridiculous kind of thing where it's like, these characters are forced to interact with each other and be in this shared space. And like every character gets a moment where it's like, oh, I know this place. I recognize it. And so it's silly, but like it's still dangerous and violent like most board games are.
Hi, my name is Irving Benitez. My pronouns are he, him. And some of my previous works that people might know is A Witch at Gallows Bird and also The City I Love It Speaks to Me. My zine is Townies. It is a short little game about, let me open the itch page. It is a solo journaling game based on the Lost and Found engine by Jack Harrison. It is about time and change and the Rust Belt and the chase of capitalism that has failed so many in a very small, effective style of game. Some of the CWs include loneliness, capitalist violence, urban decay, the opioid crisis, missing persons, mental illness, and death.
Now here's why I asked the designers to explain what makes their games so exciting and some narrative inspirations that they're pulling from.
Aside from getting to play as an adorable little salamander with cute hobbies and a gun, I think the most exciting thing about Axolotl with a Gun is the arcade inspirations. Especially with this second edition of the game, I really wanted to lean into those retro arcade game vibes. There's a few really cool new coin-operated game mechanics that I think help us get there. Whenever your character gets knocked out or needs to resupply, for instance, you can insert a coin to continue, just like with an old arcade cabinet. And your character pops back into the scene with refreshed stats, more hobby supplies, and, you know, a few invulnerability frames for good measure. And just like picking a character with unique hobbies or combos in old side-scrollers, your choice of guns and hobbies makes for a character with a ton of really neat, unique narrative interactions. I've seen people make missile launchers that fire hand-knitted rockets. I've seen people combine K-pop dances and a gun sword to make extremely lethal dance routines. And there's some really fun interplay to be discovered there. Plus, each gun has its own effect on your dice pool, so everybody gets to play their own cool dice mini game, and I think that's really fun.
The board games are really interesting to me because they come from this very, like, they kind of appear as if they're from this, like, super hardcore, super, super metal, heavy metal kind of origin. But it's like, at the end of the day, and kind of like with heavy metal in general, it's just kind of regular people listening to it. Not every single person who listens to heavy metal is like a biker or like some kind of Viking. It's just a bunch of nerds, and so there's always an inherent silliness in camp that comes with board games, and so this game is kind of, this adventure module kind of brings that more to the forefront, but we still wanted to have this kind of musical inspiration, because I think that's the best part of board games, where it's like it has this thematic core centered on music. And for ours, it's more, instead of being like metal or like a metal subgenre or like punk rock, we were just like, what if we did like internet music? And it's like, it was just like, what do you mean by internet music? And it's like, the first thing that kind of immediately jumped out at me is the fact that the people who listen to Death Grips are the same people who listen to Caro Caro Bonito. And it's like that kind of dichotomy like tickled me. And so it's like, we're marrying the silly and the fruity and the saccharine with this super nasty, super dangerous situation. And so it's like, that's kind of the core. That's the musical core of Murker of Morix.
It's a lost and found game, but I take a different approach to the item that is being essentially passed around different people. It is, instead of being an item that's passed to different people in a traditional sense, like say a banner or say a like family heirloom, it is quite literally a town. And the town is essentially taken care of by its townies, and those townies help care while also have their views about the town affected by themselves and the actions that happen within the town's borders the entire time that they are there. And it can change how the town is seen by other people and how people view it, from both inside and outside the community, and also how the town is described and how it is like physically viewed in a sense. There's also a mechanic for quite literally taking your hometown and scribbling on a map of it in order to mark the metaphorical scars that pop up during your time with that townie and as time passes.
In terms of inspirations or thematic touchstones, I think the game is pretty firm in its stance about tech companies and the impact their fads have on our wild places, their residents, and our natural resources. Especially living in a big old swamp in Minnesota, Bree and I have a lot to say about the preservation of wetland ecosystems, and I think some of that definitely comes through in this game. But alongside it, there's also this whimsical joy of getting to be a horrible little guy, blowing stuff up and protecting your swamp by making traps out of cute crafts. Like, the mecha monsters you fight represent problems we face in real life that are real, but this game is more like an episode of Saturday morning cartoons, you know? So when they show up, you get to produce a big silly gun from Hammer Space and then pummel some suitably pathetic bad guys as kitschy, cute, and endangered salamanders, and, you know, make it back home in time for craft night, because having hobbies is important.
When it comes to inspirations for the game, it the name and the whole kind of idea came from a Predator animated TV show called Killer of Killers, and it was, the whole thing was just like, the conceit of the show is that like different people who have managed to kill one of the Predator aliens in the past are like marked, and then they're like they're transported to the Predator homeworld because they've got like this big warrior culture thing going. So it's like, oh, these are the people who killed a Predator, and so now you're going to be in this, we're going to put you in this dangerous situation to see if you can like prove how awesome you are. I actually haven't watched the whole show. I watched the first episode and it was pretty intriguing, and then after that I didn't get to watch anymore because I think it's on HBO and the thing ran out, so. But just the idea of that, like, really, it's like, it kind of stuck with me, and so I had this kind of cool idea after I ran a bunch of different kinds of board games at PAX U, and so it was all kind of circling in my head, and that's how it came together.
Narrative touchstones. Big narrative touchstone, because this is less fictional and more real and true to life in a weird sense. Definitely there's some bits and pieces of magical realism in here. There is little tiny pieces of my parents and everyone that I've ever met that has lived in my hometown when I grew up. And the biggest design influence has been Hippolyta's game Banner, which is about a banner of a group of people that are in diaspora that use that banner as a reminder of who they are as a people as it changes through the generations. And thus, they change as a people through the generations.
And because there's no way I'm ending this podcast on a serious note, I asked each designer which historical figure would most enjoy their zine.
So I love this question because one of my favorite sleeper picks for romantic poets and authors is William Blake, who was known for the incredibly dense tapestry of mythologies in his personal works. Not only do I think he would find the mythology of the axolotl really interesting, I think the sort of anti-capitalist themes of Axolotl with a Gun would appeal to him based on some of his work that I've read. Also, when he and his wife were airing out their house after etching copper plates in acid and painting the prints they made, really cool process, by the way, you should definitely look it up. They would role play as biblical or mythological figures. I think William and Catherine Blake would be into role playing games is what I'm saying. William Blake would be a gamer, I think.
When it comes to notable figures in history that would enjoy my zine, I feel like, I don't know. It's hard because the zine itself is a very kind of like internet-y thing. It's like the whole thing is like in the world of the game, it's like, oh, it's being live streamed and it's like kind of parodying like the modern internet landscape. And so a historical figure would probably not really love it. It'd probably be like, I don't know, Genghis Khan or something. Someone who relishes the opportunity to go to fight people from different cultures, because that's what the Mongols were really good at. Like, they were extraordinarily adaptable, like, which is like, I think, a really neat thing that people don't really talk about. Everyone kind of talks about how it's just like, oh yeah, the Mongols, they showed up and they fucked their shit up, but it's like the ability to go to different countries and being able to not only assimilate useful people but being able to adapt to the different technologies and the different like environments and the different structures and architecture, that kind of thing, is like, so it's so cool. And it's one of those things that like people don't really talk about.
What noble figure in history would you think would have enjoyed your zine the most? I'm going to go with my hometown guy who made one of the first like metro parks, like it's in the country. That is Volney Rogers. He was one of the guys who made it possible for the modern metro park system to exist in the country. And I really enjoy the local metro park.
And that's the podcast. Thank you first to every designer who submitted to be part of these episodes. I'm trying something a little different for the podcast, but it's an idea I've had for more than a little bit, and I'm excited to utilize it for this sort of format. It is absolutely inspired by the way that Seda edits Folio, the fantastic solo TTRPG actual play podcast. If you haven't listened to Folio or the episode of this podcast that I did with Seda, I highly recommend you check out both of those. Just because Seda's great. Like, just go check out Seda's stuff. It's good. You'll have a great time. And of course, thank you for listening. If you have any specific feedback on this format, please let me know. I'm interested in using this pre-recorded format in some way in the future. And if people found it annoying or disjointed or whatever, I would love to know that. But if you're curious about more zines, I will put the links to all of the various landing pages in the show notes. That way you can go check them all out, see what's exciting, see what catches your eye. Hope wherever you are, you're happy, you're healthy, and you're safe. Fuck ice. I'll see you in the next one.